Thank you, Adam and Alison. That was amazing. It's good to have God's word read to us so well. Before we start, let's bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your great love for all of us. And as we open your word and just look at the truths that you have in store for us, I pray that you might speak to each one of us here. I thank you again for the way you use all different types of people to achieve your purposes. And we glorify and honor you this morning. Amen. Well, we're here at the last Sunday of our missions month, and we've been really looking at a broad range. And it started off with Fletcher at the beginning of the month saying, having a faith to share the gospel or share the good news. And so Fletcher shared that on our first day, that we need to get out there and trust God with this good news. The second week, Bob Prouty came and talked about helping us to connect with those around about us. And whether it's refugees or what, we need to get out and connect. Even if you can't speak their language, you can still offer something to someone else. And the third week, Ray came and talked to us just last week. Our mission field, one of the things that statements that stuck in my mind, our mission field starts at our bedroom door. As soon as we get out of that door, our mission field opens up. The fact that we need to be make ourselves available and see where God is working and step into that space, wherever you might be around the world. This week, we're going to be talking about knowing God and making him known. And that's something that we've tried to do at Crosslink, is make God known to the people that come along to us. Because whether it's our Crosslink members or other people in our community with different abilities, these sorts of people are often ignored and sidelined and misunderstood. We judge people too quickly, don't we? We just size them up, and they say it takes 7 seconds to suss someone out. And they might look at your clothes, they might look at your hairstyle, or how far your eyes are apart, or the gap in your teeth. People look at all these things, and then they come up with a judgment and say, that person is arrogant, and I'm not going to trust anything with that person. Or that person is funny. It'll be good to have a laugh with, but I'm not going to trust him to do anything for me because, those sort of people. And then this other person looks angry. I'll be careful with what I share with that person. Or this person looks sad and, if I want a downer, I'll go and hang out with that person. And so we suss these people out within the first 7 seconds, and we pigeonhole them, and that's how we respond to them for the rest of our time that we know them. The first time I met Anton was at Camp David, the intellectually disabled camp that Victor and Alex went to. And I was a little bit worried because I was in the same cabin as Anton, and he looked a little bit different. He was bald, and now there's nothing wrong with that, but I had hair at the time. I was unsure about bald people. And so he was bald, and he had little eyes that were close together, and he had gappy teeth and a funny smile, and he sounded different, and he was hard to understand. But one thing, he was a really sharp dresser. He always wore a white shirt and black slacks and he had a black waistcoat on every time. He was an amazing dresser. After spending a week with Anton, it was just an eye-opener for me. I got to learn a bit more about him. He was funny, he loved dancing, he loved singing, and he loved acting. He should have been in the theatre. He was just, you know, always expressive, and his movements were always fluid. He loved people, and he still loves people, and he wants to entertain them. He's a real show-off. He's a real actor. People judge God too. They think of God and come up with a mental idea of what he's like. And because of some ideas, they might think, oh, God's harsh and angry, and he judges people. He's boring. He's a killjoy. He doesn't want us to have any fun. But without spending time with him and getting to know him, you don't know what he's really like. To be known, you need to put yourself out there and make yourself visible and make yourself vulnerable and open to criticism. You need to get out of the house and you need to go and mix with people. That's to be made known. To know someone, you need to spend time with them. What words would you use to describe God, his character, or his who he is? What words would you use? Would you use some of the words in that song, he is strong and kind? Would you use, oh, God's loving, or God's so creative? When you see a sunrise, it's just amazing. God's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. You might say these things. He's generous. He's an encourager. He's a forgiver. But some people might think of God and have another different idea. Some people might say he's different, distant, or angry, or irrelevant to today's society. But it's not until you get to know him as Lord that you really, really spend time with him, reading his word, that you get to know him. Now, Victor, he's a handsome sort of bloke, but and you've known a little bit more about him from his interview. But Gary, who also comes to Crosslink, and I, we drive in the truck with Victor once a month into the city to feed the homeless people in the city. And it's not until you spend hours in the truck that you really get to know Victor. Oh, goodness me. Now, Victor's loud. He didn't show out the front here, but he's loud. He's got a wicked laugh, and he's got a great sense of humor. But one of the things that Gary and I get him to do every night, every so often, is to tell us about his cabbage rolls. He's very passionate about cabbage rolls. I thought he'd say cabbage rolls, but it was me goring. But cabbage rolls is right up there. And he can tell you the recipe if you want to know after the service. He will give you an in-depth description. But also, if you spend time with Victor, and he's very open about this, he's had a tough life. He's had some tough challenges that he's had to face through life. But he loves to help others, and he loves to work hard. He's also good at temping bowling, which is a pain. Yeah. It's the same with the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to spend time with him. We need to open his word and read God's word in the Bible. We need to look at creation and what's around about us, what he's done. We can look at other people and say, you know, God did a good job with that person, and I love their personality. Or we can appreciate what God has done. I appreciate what God's done in this little community, this church community, and we can appreciate and put God on a pedestal because he's done such an amazing job. Now, there's an old prayer that's called, "Oh Lord, Please Don't Let Me Be Misunderstood." Now, I think Nina Simone sang it in 1964, before the other people that sang it. That's right. And so we all have a desire not to be misunderstood, not to be misrepresented. But the Apostle Paul was a guy who thought he knew God. He had it all. He had an education. He had status in society, and he had privilege in society. This is how he describes himself in Philippians 3, just before the passage that Alison wrote. This is what he said before that. "If someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in themselves, I have more. I was circumcised on the eighth day. I'm of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin," because that was important because they were God's promised people, the Israelites, "and a Hebrew of Hebrews. In regards to the law, I was a Pharisee," right up there, top of the tree of the Jewish religion. "I was a Pharisee, a member of a group that is stricter than any other. As for zeal, he persecuted the church. As for righteousness, based on the law, he considered himself faultless. He kept the rules of the law." Paul thought he knew God. He did everything right. He thought he was God's man. And he did everything according to the rules and the traditions and the customs of the Old Testament. He'd wash his hands and he'd bow down and pray and he'd read the scriptures. He did everything. He ate the right things and he stayed away from anything that made him unclean or dirty. He followed the rules. He spent his whole life trying to please God. He was educated to please God. He had status and power that he used to try and please God. He had the privilege to show that he was pleasing God. And yet, he misunderstood in such a big way. It's like a member of a car club. Have you ever seen these guys who look after an old car? I've got a little old mighty boy, and it needs a lot of work. But some guys have an old car and they do it up to the nth degree, like up to the nines. And they polish it every weekend and they look at the weather to see if it's good to bring it outside the garage. And they've got the car manual, how the car runs. And they talk about points and dwell angles and filters and gaskets. And they make their car just right. But they've got strict rules, these guys who have these pristine cars. They've got strict rules. There's definitely no eating or having chewing gum when you're in their car, okay? And if you get inside the car, make sure you're wearing clean clothes. Don't touch the paintwork because that'll leave oily fingerprints. And they're very precious about when they go outside and take their car for a run. If it's even hinting that it's going to rain, it's not going to leave the car park. But the designer of the car had a whole different idea of how this car should be used. It should be driven. It should be used. People should get in there and experience the joy of going down the road. They need to get in the car and learn how it handles, how it handles in the wet, how it handles in the dry, how it starts up on a cold and frosty morning. They need to experience the joy of driving that car. Now, Paul, he had the manual, he had the rule book, and he was doing everything to the letter. But he misunderstood the design, what the designer wanted out of him. He wanted him to live life and experience a close relationship with him every step of the way. Paul knew the rules, but he didn't have the relationship with God. He missed it. He misunderstood what God was all about. He just didn't get it. He had everything going for him, but he just didn't get that God wanted a personal relationship, an interaction with him on a daily basis. You know, CrossLink is so competitive sometimes. Playing games, whether it's noodle hockey, it gets a bit vicious. Like, you see Alison and you see Kyla down the back, give them a noodle and a ball on the floor. Good, step back. Oh, it's everyone's game. It's really good fun to see them play noodle hockey. They don't hold back at all. And whether they even make competitions about throwing rubbish in the bin. And they say, I can throw it in the bin further than you can. And said, oh, well, I can do it backwards. I'll do it over my shoulder. And they do all these games to try and one-upmanship. There's a lot of boasting and grandstanding. When it comes to 10-pin bowling, well, there's a big ramp up before we actually get to 10-pin bowling. What are you going to get? I'm going to wipe the floor with you. You know, there's a lot of boasting, bragging, grandstanding, trash talking. And then Katrina reminds me to calm down and be nice like everyone else. And it's only a game. But with 10-pin bowling, people get 170. And my goal is I'm happy if I get between 90 and 100. If I do that, I'm happy. But these guys are getting over 150. It's incredible to see. Well, the Bible has something to say about boasting, and Adam read it so well. This is what the Lord says about boasting. Don't let the wise boast in their wisdom, or the powerful boast in their power, or the rich boast in their riches. These are all good things in and of themselves. It's good to get an education. It's good to learn about how to do things. It's good to be fit and physically fit and exercise and look after your body. It's good to have some spare coin at the end of the day and to earn a wage. But it's not the be-all and end-all. And it's not what you want your identity to be wrapped around in. They're good attributes, and people admire these. You say, what sort of university degree do you have? Or what sort of education do you have? Or something like, I can bench press so many kilos. I don't even know what's a decent kilo to bench press. But, you know, people brag about that sort of thing and they admire it. People are proud of how clever they are, which was Paul, or how strong and fit and buff they are, or how rich they are, or privileged they are, which was like Paul. They all give an idea. If you've got these things, they all give an idea that you are in control of the situation. And God doesn't even figure into the picture. Now, this passage goes on to say, knowing God's heart. The Bible says, those who wish to boast should boast in truly knowing me. That's a goal. To know God. If you've got any goal whatsoever, get a goal of, I want to know God better. And it'll be a lifetime of exciting journey of discovering who God is and understanding that he is the Lord. He demonstrates unfailing love and who brings justice and righteousness to the earth. And I delight in these things. Knowing God by understanding that God is the boss of everything and everyone. They acknowledge and honor God and put him in his rightful place. Then he goes on to say, this is how we can show that we know God. If we show unfailing love by getting beside someone, showing a genuine care, praying for someone, which often happens at CrossLink, people are very intuitive about the needs of those around about them and say, oh, we need to pray for so-and-so who's going up to Queensland. We need to pray for this guy or a carer who's sick. We need to pray for him and ask God to help. So we need to show unfailing love. We need to bring justice. We don't just put up with bullying and harassments or wrong things that are happening around us. We need to bring justice. And what's justice? Making things right. When things go wrong, you make things right. These things bring joy to God's heart. Knowing about God is not the same as knowing him personally. And God wants us to get to know him personally. God's grace. This is how Paul described himself before he got to know the Lord as Savior. He said, I used to reject the name, this is from 1 Timothy 1, if you want to check it up later. I used to reject the name of Christ. In my insolence, I persecuted his people. But God had mercy on me, because I did it in ignorance and unbelief. How generous and gracious our Lord was. He filled me with the faith and love that comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. And he goes on, this is a trustworthy saying and everyone should accept it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And this is what Paul said of himself, and I am the worst sinner of them all. But God had mercy on me, that Christ Jesus should use me as a prime example of his great patience with even the worst sinners. Then others will realize that they too can believe in him and receive eternal life. He wants to make Christ known to people around about him. And then he goes on, all honor, glory to God for an ever and ever. He is the eternal King. God's grace is big enough for everyone. No matter how bad people think they are, Paul realized he'd missed God's standard, that he completely misunderstood God directly. He had the scriptures there, he was reading them, but he missed out on the fact that he needed a relationship with him. Paul trusted Jesus to make him right with God. And God, who is rich in mercy, doesn't treat us as we deserve, but everyone can know God. Paul now wanted to show this God's love with other people around about him. No matter how bad they thought they are, God's love is bigger, and everyone can know God's forgiveness and peace. Mission Month's purpose is to get to know God's heart for people, to get to also get involved in making him known to people around about us. Our mission field begins at the bedroom door, to be available to God and willing to move and act when God shows us a need that we can step into. CrossLink is a mission field to people who are valued by God. But often, these same people are ignored by society. And it's not until you get to know some of these people that you get to understand them and appreciate them and value them for who they are. CrossLink members and people with different disabilities, they don't need sympathy or pity. What they need is to know that God loves them and sees them as valuable. Yeah, like God did with Paul. That God wants to be involved in their lives and that no one can measure up to God's standard of themselves. But Christ Jesus has made a way for us to fully and truly know him. And Paul learned some hard lessons along the road, but he realized that a relationship with God is really a valuable thing to aim for. God wants us to know him personally and to be known to others. So a question for you this morning is, how well do you know God? Do you have knowing God as a goal in your life? With any relationship, I've known Katrina for a few years now, my wife, and I'm still learning things about her. And there's still new things that are coming out, what she likes and loves, her desires and what she wants to care for. And it's an interesting journey. But I'd like to finish off with Paul's words that Alison read earlier before. But Christ has shown me that what I once thought was valuable is actually worthless. Nothing is as wonderful as knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. I have given up everything else and count it all as rubbish, as garbage. And all I want is Christ and to know that I belong to him. I could not make myself acceptable to God by obeying the law of Moses. God accepted me simply because of my faith in Christ. All I want to know is Christ Jesus. Let's bow and pray, and we'll say goodbye to our online watchers, and we'll commit them to the Lord and us too. Lord, I thank you for everyone here. I thank you for people who've been watching online. I thank you for your heart for people, no matter what they look like, what their abilities are. I thank you that you value them and that you desire a relationship with you. As we go into communion service, I pray that you might really enlighten our hearts, show us your way, help us to recognize where you're working, and help us to appreciate you for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen.